your Bibles. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. Thank you. It's good to be here. How many, can you hear me? All right. How many think Brother Collins looks like a pumpkin? And, all right, just thinking. Sorry about that. Just kind of went through my mind. And good to be here. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, if you would please. And I know the time is fleeting and we're going to kind of jump into it, but I'm glad to be here. What a wonderful day. And I hope you had a good week. I've not struggled with what to preach on. Whenever you look to, you get asked to preach or whatever, you look at the occasion, you look at what's going on, you kind of, you know, figure out what's happening and try to meet the need. Or you look through your sermon, see what would fit that. And then you think, is there something that needs to be dealt with or something that you have preached or need to preach that could be a help or some admonition of some kind? And I, in praying about it last couple weeks, last week I came across this. And I'm not going to fix anything. I'm not going to change your life at all today. But I found something in Scripture that I was reading, and a passage that I've read 1,000 times, I think. And just became just a great blessing to me. So I want you to hear it today, and I want to help you with it. I want you to look in Luke chapter 22. I want you to look down in verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Look down at verse 54 here. Very little time, but some time has passed here. Then took they him, talking about they took Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and he sat down, and as he sat down, or sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." Then he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him, and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message of this hour. Help us to be helped and blessed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every one of us have spent measurable times doing things that are crazy, as this week will attest. But there are times that we have just trying to do the right thing, trying to be in the right place. We do stupid things, right? We've all done things that are foolish, and we've tripped over things, walking backwards and turn around and running into trees and texting and hit cars and just done a bunch of things, and you've all been there, apparently real soon, many of you on that. But today I want to just kind of look at something here, and I've really searched hard to find a title for this. But as I was thinking back on the dumb things that I've done over the years, and we could write a book, I think, but I just, a simple one, walking out to one of our vehicles that was, I parked it in front of my house on the street, and I was just walking out to get something out of it, and I remember just tripping over grass. Just nothing was there, just grass, and mowed grass, not even tall grass. And it was broad daylight, and I remember tripping, and I stopped and I looked around to see who was watching. And praise the Lord, there was nobody watching. Because what did I feel? I felt stupid, right? A few minutes later, I got what I needed out of the van, and I walked into the house, and my son, who was about 15 years old at the time, and there's nothing right with a 15-year-old, And he walked past me, and he stopped and turned around. He said, "Oh, by the way, Dad, don't think for a second no one saw you." And he said, "By the way, you did look stupid." So I just kind of place this title that, and not to belittle Peter here, because I think he's one of the greatest Christians in all of Scripture, but the title is this, is Jesus Knew I Was an Idiot. Jesus knew I was an idiot. And guess what? Jesus knows you're one too. Amen? In fact, I'm surrounded by idiots today. Look at the platform, right? But Jesus knew we were idiots. You know, walking through life doesn't mean that we're never going to mess up. You know, as hard as we try to do right, as hard as we try to live right, as hard as we try to be what we're supposed to be, we mess up. We make mistakes. You know, many of you, if you were to be asked right now, in fact, most all of you, if you were to be asked, "Are you a fundamental independent Baptist?" what would you say? Yes. Amen. And you'd say that proudly. You'd be glad about it. But let me ask you, will you be glad about it in 40 years? Would you still classify yourself as that? You know, as a fundamental independent Baptist, we have the definition of that is that we believe in the basic Bible doctrines from the Word of God. Salvation by grace through faith. How many believe that? Raise your hand. All right? You believe in the doctrine of separation. You believe that there's a heaven. You believe that there's a hell. You believe in spreading the gospel. These are things that are just the foundational tenets of what the Word of God says, and we believe them as the Word of God says that. These are things I personally believe since I was in eighth grade, and I mean that. I knew what I believed, and still believe that many years later. And I've not changed. As a matter of fact, I've got more entrenched in those beliefs, and I've not changed them. But I can't say that all through in my entire life that I've not stumbled over some of these. And I can't say that I've not failed in front of a crowd that wasn't of like mind and faith on some of these issues. We all think we're going to stand for Christ today, tomorrow, and 40 years from now. But so did Peter. I mean, Peter had spent almost 3 years with Jesus Christ. And in just a few hours or even minutes possibly before, he tells Jesus, "I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you." And Jesus says, "No, it's not going to happen, you know what, right now. But you know what? Let me tell you what's going to happen." And here, Peter changed in just almost in a moment. Now, a little admonition here before I get to the blessing of the message, if I may. I mean, a little admonition here. Peter really thought he was going to stand. I believe he meant every word of it. But what changed him? Two things. One, what he was listening to and who he was listening to. And who he was around. That was the only change. Had the disciples been there at that fire, and that lady had asked him, "Aren't you one of them?" He'd have said, you better know I am. If the Roman soldiers probably would have come, like they did before, and says, "Aren't you one of them?" He would have said, "Yes, we are." But he was not with his friends. He was not with those of like mind and faith. Just let that be a little admonition to you for the future. You'll become like your surroundings if you don't watch it. There will become a time and a place where Peter did stand so strong for the Lord by himself that he was martyred. Well, that will come in time as you get more ingrained and entrenched in the things that you believe in. Kind of like this week, as the week started, some of you, when they would say freshman, you'd go, now you're screaming and hollering and wearing stupid outfits. And you don't care what you look like. You're all in. And if I may, in time, I could stand here and boast, if I may, and proudly say that I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. And I'm not shuddered by who I'm around or where I am when I say it. But I got to tell you, it wasn't always that way. I felt uncomfortable at times at gatherings where I was the only fundamental independent Baptist there. And I was looked down upon, and I was mocked even at times. But you will come to a place to where you will be ingrained, and that seed of what you are will grow. But you better be careful of your drift. You better be careful of what you allow to happen. I was reading something this week. Brother Paul Chapman wrote in Save New England magazine, the quarterly. It says, we never drift to greatness. We never roam to excellence. We never please the Lord by accident. When we drift, we always drift away from God's person, purpose, and plan. Isn't that good? We always drift away from God's person, His purpose, and His plan. Why must we guard against, then, a liberal drift? Why are we so prone to wander into compromise and sin? We drift away from God because of sin's corruption. We are sinners by birth and by choice. Our corrupt sin nature loves to sin. It reaches for ungodliness. It leans towards iniquity. The flesh cries for control like a petulant child. It always seeks to draw us away from God. You know, until we have that seated in our soul, or what we are and what we will be, you know, we're going to tend to drift. I was in my yard the other day, and some politicians were walking by, and one was Hal Slager, running for Congress in this area, state representative. And he and his wife and some other folks were passing out flyers, and I was chatting with him in my front yard. And his wife said to me, she says, Eddie, can I ask you something? She says, you know how you can tell, and this isn't a joke, okay, how you can tell if somebody is the right kind of politician to vote for. I said, how's that? She says, you don't ask him this question. If the U.S. Constitution were written today, as it was years ago, would you sign it? Would you sign it? And I thought, that is the best question I could possibly ask a politician. You know, we have the tenets of the faith here. We have the Word of God. We have Bible doctrine. We teach it to you. If you ever have any doubt about a doctrine in the Bible that we teach or preach, it's your responsibility to ask about it. We'll show you from Scripture. There are many things that I believe about my personal life that are not in Scripture. It's just the way that I live. But the things that are of the Bible and in the Word of God, we have taught you and will teach you over the next several years. But there will come a time and a place where you're not going to make it through walking across the grass seemingly without tripping. And you'll find a place and a time in your life where you're going to make a mistake. I know that Jesus was honest when he was asked the question, or he was told that Peter would live for him. But I want you to look back, if you would, briefly here in verse 34. Verse 34. He said, Peter, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I don't know what that would have done to you, and I can't imagine what it did to Peter at that time. It was definitely, pardon the pun, but a coming to Jesus moment for him, that he couldn't comprehend the statement. You know, let me just tell you something. Don't ever ask Jesus a question that you don't want an answer to, because he's going to be honest with you. I mean, I was thinking, Brother Collins, I was thinking that, you know, what would it have been like to be around Jesus, to ask him, you know, what, Jesus, what do you think about that? When you really don't want to know the answer, you know, what do you think, Martha? Did you think she ever asked him, Jesus, do I look fat in this robe? And because he's going to say, yeah. And, you know, he's not going to lie. And he might be softer about it. But some of you, now, we were looking at the cow back there a little while ago, but I won't go where Brother Collins did with it. But I don't want to embarrass Dinah. And just kidding. By the way, the first day on tour, Dinah says, this skirt, they gave it to us, Mrs. Collins gave us the skirt, and it's just really loose on me. I said, just give it a couple weeks. And And by the end of tour. Never mind. I'm just saying. But Jesus was very, very honest with Peter. He says, "No, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me." But here's the blessing, and I'll be very brief this morning. The blessing is this. Look back, if you would, in verse 32. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. As Jesus tells Simon in verse 31 that Satan wants you. And young people, Satan wants you too. There's no doubt in my mind, every one of you that have surrendered your heart and life to the Lord, Satan's put a target on your back. But Jesus says, Peter, verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee." You may make mistakes in life, young people, but listen to me carefully. You've got somebody praying for you. You've got the Son of God. You got the great intercessor praying for you today. He knows what you're going through. He knows the struggles you have. He knows what you're thinking, whether it's good, bad, or evil. Jesus is praying for you. I don't know what that does for you, but it gives me great comfort in what I do. It gives me great comfort in what I am. I know I'm an idiot. I know I make mistakes. I know I've said stupid things just recently. And I know I've said things that have embarrassed me and embarrassed others. But the truth is, I have somebody praying for me. And Peter had Jesus praying for him. And right out of the gate, he was thinking, "Well, that's awesome, Jesus, that you're praying for me." And you have somebody praying for you. And the second thing here I want you to look at, he said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail," what? Not. He said, you know what? You're going to make mistakes and you're going to just make blunders that are going to be embarrassing to you and to others. And I'm not going to be happy about it, but I'm praying that it doesn't destroy your faith. I'm praying that it doesn't change what you are, your direction you're going. I hope it doesn't change your want for a relationship with me. Don't let it destroy your faith. Every one of you are going, as you live the Christian life, none of us are going to be perfect. By the end of day today, you're going to look and think to yourself, "Boy, Lord, that was disappointing. I'm sorry about that." But you got to realize Jesus is praying that your faith doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. Galatians 6:8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And Jesus doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us to get down the road and get discouraged and in financial trouble and realize that, you know what, God isn't with me today. He doesn't want us to destroy our faith. There's a book coming out that is written by a famous news anchor and who's a Christian, and she is writing, and I forget the title of it, it's brand new, it's not even on the shelves yet, but she said, "Our country has lost its faith in God." And today, she says, "I've interviewed so many people, I am finding that they think there's a God out there, but they've lost their faith in Him helping them." Young people, I can understand the world thinking that because they don't know Him. They've never trusted Jesus Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them to be that comforter. But you do. You do. And Jesus said to Peter, "Listen, I want to pray for you that your faith doesn't ever waver." It doesn't waver. And I love this next part of this verse. Look at it again. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not when thou art converted." You know, he already decided that he would accept Peter's repentance. It's already, God's decision was already made about that. And you know what? When you fall down, when you make a mistake, Jesus is looking forward to that time when you get right with Him. The Bible says He delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. God wants to give you mercy. God wants to forgive you. God wants to see you back on your feet. Now, we as Christians, when we see other people fall, we get upset about it. And we even get angry to the point to where we don't even want them back. That's not what Jesus looks forward to. Jesus looks forward to you being back, because he said, when thou art converted, I'm already planning on it. I'm already accepting you back. I already want you back part of the team here. And last, he says, when you get back, I want you to strengthen thy brethren. He's already got a job for him. You listen to me carefully. If you backslide on God and you go into sin, I don't care, you lose your faith. Let me tell you something. The day you get right with God, God still has something for you to do. So how do you know that, Brother Eddie? Because you're still living. You still got breath. And God said to Peter, you're going to deny me not once, but three times. And I know today you're feeling strong and mighty. And I know today in the crowd, you know what? You're feeling all powerful. And you're literally going to charge hell with a squirt gun. But tonight, you're going to feel like quitting. You're going to feel like quitting. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I still got work for you to do. I want you to get the disciples together. And I personally think he was talking about Judas in here mainly. I want you to get Judas together, and I want you to get John and get Andrew, get them all together, and I want you to encourage them. I want you to help them. I want you to strengthen them. And of course, we find out that after the crucifixion, Jesus finds Peter and the disciples all in a boat fishing, and Jesus brings him out and takes him for a walk and tells him how he is going to stand so tall for Christ one day that he will become a martyr. You may fail a test or two in school, but let me beg you, you know what? Make your amends and graduate. You're going to fail tests in this world, testing your Christianity or faith. You're going to fail. You're not going to be perfect. But make your resolution with God right. Fall on your face. Use the altar in your church. Come back to the church house. Let the preacher, let the singing, let the music fill your soul and let your heart regain its faith. And let God show you your new duties. Let God show you your work. A friend of mine was coaching wrestling at a local public school. It's a true story. And he had one of his wrestlers, he called me one night, and he says, Brother Ed, he said, I got to tell you a sad story. He said, one of my wrestlers, his dad had given him a brand new pickup truck. And he said he was driving through town. He'd gone through to meet some of his buddies, and they got to drinking. He was driving home, and he was weaving down Ridge Road up here in Highland. He said a policeman pulled him over, walked up to the car, and the policeman could smell the alcohol and got his license and went back to his car. And the kid began to freak out and turned the truck on and took off in a high-speed chase ensued. The policeman didn't want this kid, because he knew he had been drinking, to drive impaired, and he backed off and just put an APB out on him. But several hours later, a policeman up in Waukegan, Illinois, up by Gurnee, up by Great America, saw the APB and saw that truck and turned on his lights, and another high-speed chase ensued. This time, the young man in his truck jumped the medium into oncoming traffic and hit a semi head-on and was killed. Talking to his coach, he said, Brother Eddie, he said, the sad thing about the whole story is that policeman that went to that window and got his license, he says, was a friend of his father. And wasn't going to take him in. Went back to his car, not to run his license, but went back to his car to call his dad. and help have his dad come get him. Instead, the young man ran. You know, if you look at the disciples, that's exactly what Judas did. But Peter allowed his life to be restored. We're all idiots for a time. We're all idiots in a moment. But we have a God that loves us. He gave his son for us. Ready to redeem us whenever you're ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We sure do thank you that you have watched over us so many times. And God, I personally want to thank you for your forgiving spirit, for your love of mercy. Because God, you've shown me a whole lot of mercy. And God, I know that every student in this room wants to have a life that is filled with honor and glory in your eyes. But we also know that many of us will fail. Some will fall harder than others. But God, may we, as we look, as we're on our knees, as we're on our face, may we always realize that you're ready to reach down and pick us up. May we never destroy that faith. May we never lose that faith that you have. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and we have a lot of guests here today, and it's an honor to have you. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today could be that day. God wants his mercy to be upon you as well. He wants you to know Jesus Christ, his son, who gave his life for you. A lot of great kids in this room. Not a perfect one, though. There is not a young person in this room that's not going to make a mistake. There's not an adult, and there's not a professor, teacher in this room that hasn't made mistakes. But God has given us a redemptive soul. Because he saved us. And we put our faith and trust in him. If you have any questions about any of that, and you're a guest with us today, or you're a student, please talk to somebody. Just say, you know what? What about that message? I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. And I guarantee you the person who brought you would be happy to explain to you out of the Bible how you can know for sure. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this school. Bless our day today. Bless our weekend as we, Lord, several of us have to go to funerals this week. Just one in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for a dear lady that I'll be at in just a few hours. Another one tomorrow that many of our folks will be at for a dear lady that has suffered for many, many years. And then the Saturday afternoon we'll be soul winning and we'll be bringing people to church on Sunday. A lot going on. Bless our work today, but more so, pray for us. Jesus, pray for us. I pray that you'll help us and meet with us. In your name we pray.